don't start from like who owns what work. Start from, is everybody on an even playing field in terms of having equal joy, equal rest, equal time for connection, equal time for creativity, and equal time for self-care.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
18 Summers Tribe. Today, we're speaking with Lori Sugarman Lee. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much. I'm so happy to be with you.
Yeah, great to have you.
Now, Lori, is it a recent book that you wrote, Our Home?
It's so recent that it's actually not even out yet. It's coming out in April. And here it is, an advanced copy.
Oh my gosh, it's super cute.
Thank you. It's about the power of families and how we care for one another and the space we share.
Love it. What inspired you to write this? Because obviously a very important subject that I know our listeners are impacted by daily.
So I'm really on a heartfelt mission to raise the visibility and value of unpaid work and the labor of care. And where it started for me was with my own unpaid career. I was with my kids for 13 years, full time in care of them and their schools and our community and various charities after having a 15-year paid career in marketing and strategy. And when we moved from Toronto to the UK to now Chicago, we always have to update our personal foundational documents, wills and insurance and et cetera. And when we moved to Chicago, my husband suggested that I apply for disability insurance because since he values my role so deeply, he said, if anything happens to you, I'll take a leave from work and be head of family, ostensibly, right? Only to find out that the insurance agent didn't see it the same way and dismissed my thousands of hours of contributions to the home and community as me simply being a unemployed housewife and rejected me for disability insurance, basically telling me that I had no value in his algorithm. And it was a big light bulb moment for me as to how society really does not at all protect or value this work of home and care and community that we know is inequitably performed and provided by women. And so I wanted to become a part of the work to progress that. And my credibility really felt because of my time with my kids and their schools and children's charities that I wanted to speak to children about it. And so this book was the result.
Love it.
Wow, that's really exciting. And so, Lori, I think it's so important that you chose to take a foundational view with your book and go into impacting the children in the home or through the children in the home, I guess is the better way to put that.
Right. So a lot of my colleagues in my other work, which is family coaching, in which I do have a chance to speak to partners and full families, a lot of my colleagues are doing incredible work with grownups and also with government and also with corporations. And when I first started down this road, I didn't necessarily have a platform to impact those things. Now, maybe I will have more of an opportunity, but at the time, I thought, where does my credibility really lie? But in my coaching, I do have a great opportunity to work with partners and parents, and it's incredibly rewarding.
And when you're working with partners and parents, like, how do you help them see the value in unpaid work?
So the first thing is really understanding the scope of unpaid work. And so much of this work is invisible, partly because so much of it is done after hours or while little children are sleeping or while kids are at school, or in some cases by folks who come from outside of the home to support us with this work. So a lot of it tends to be unseen. And so the first step is really shining, illuminating the scope of work that it takes to get our family through every day, every week, every year. And it's a ton of stuff, right? And then also the part that's invisible because it's mental and emotional, right? That mental load that you hear so much about that, again, we know is inequitably carried by women. And it's really about bringing that to the forefront and explaining to people that there's so much more than just the execution of a task, which is the part that we often see that happens, but all of the planning, all of the noticing, all of the preparation and the remembering that has to be connected to that execution. Again, that makes up the scope. So once you understand exactly how much is going on, you can't help but sort of gasp and understand, wow, there's tremendous value there.
There's two questions I have. I want to back way up. How did you come up with unpaid work? Because this is the first time in a decade plus of us working with families I've ever heard this. I get it. I got it right away, but I've never heard that term before.
I cannot take credit for the term. It was part of my own studying where I learned that there are actually many ways of describing this work of home and this work of care. Again, done inequitably by women in large part in our society. It's often referred to as emotional labor, the mental load, the second shift, care work, unpaid work, et cetera. And it was particularly meaningful for me to embrace the term when I was devalued, right, by this insurance agent as saying all of these hours that you spend, it's a zero on my algorithm. And the first thing that I did after this flame lighting conversation with this gentleman was I created myself a LinkedIn profile because I hadn't been in that environment as a quote unquote stay-at-home mom. At that time, this was many years ago, LinkedIn was really a job matching site. And so it didn't feel like a space that I needed to be in. But then I realized if I wanted to be seen as working in this capacity, I had to be able to articulate my achievements, my contributions, my growth, and my responsibilities and the impact that I was having. And so this is really an opportunity that I share with women who are spending some time focused on unpaid work. Is it's so funny. We always have these journals for our babies and our children marking their milestones. But some advice that I give to new mothers in particular is keep a journal to note your own evolution, your own changes, your own contributions, because these become the milestones on this work journey for you.
Yeah. And that was kind of my next question of there's obviously priority importance for all the components, but I wonder for this unpaid work, because we've done some of this with our family retreats, definitely some crossover of this need of understanding the magnitude of this unpaid work. But who is it most important to realize it? Because now listening to you at first, I was going to say there's lots of scenarios out there, but so let's say a common one. If there's a busy male entrepreneur going to work and his wife is staying home, I always joke about this. You got to remember to all of you guys out there, and I've spoken to dads groups, just because you go away for a 2-day business trip doesn't mean life at home stops. It actually continues and elevates in intensity and all that. And we can forget that. So at first, I was thinking it's most important for, let's say, Jamie and I both are involved in the businesses, but I would definitely be on the road more, the one out of the house more. It's more important for me to see the, like, the list of the work. And we've done that before. Holy cow. When you start to list out all the things that are going into this unpaid work, it is a hell of a scope of work and very long. But is it more important for me to see that? Or from the coaching you're doing, is it more important for, again, just that example right now, the stay-at-home mom that's left her career and all of a sudden doesn't feel, oh, I'm not getting paid. Does she need to see that scope of work? Because she might, unless she sits and actually takes inventory on it, does she discount herself? Do you see what I'm saying? And obviously the children is, but who's most important, you think, to see this?
Yeah. So the first thing I want to address is when I did take this pivot and this shift into unpaid work, I was suddenly referred to by these insurance and lawyers and all these people who sort of measure contributions, I was labeled as a dependent. And what I would argue is when you have a dynamic where there's one person doing paid work and one person doing the unpaid work of home and family, that you are dependent on one another, right? You are interdependent. You are each contributing in a huge way. But this idea that one person does the paid work and the other does the unpaid work. And that is the situation that I enter to with my husband very unknowingly, right? Because to your exact point, when you're just pivoting into the role of a leadership and unpaid work, you're not yet aware of the scope of it. And so going in blindly and saying, yeah, let me do all the like home and family stuff. Well, that's a monster of a task to take on, you quickly recognize, right? And so I think it's really important for partners to communicate about this together from the word go. First of all, you need that awareness on the part of the partner who's outside of the home. But also, it's so important to recognize that even though one person may work outside of the home, they still have a deep connection and responsibility for all of the work of care and home and family as well. You're not going to have a situation where it's a 50-50 contribution, obviously, when someone works outside of the home too, but it's still critical that they're involved in this work, both for the wellness of the woman, because trying to carry the entire load is impacting women's wellness. But on the flip side, because there is research to say that when men are involved in nurturing and care work, their own mental wellness improves, not to mention the wellness of the kids.
Sure. Makes sense.
And probably the intimacy of the couple, because nothing's more attractive than a man that vacuums.
100%.
Not that I'm the best vacuum.
No, but like I try. I think twice in our entire marriage. But it was super sexy. Look, I draw upon those memories often.
We joke about too, and I think you hit on something really powerful right there about the art of delegation. Jamie and I talk about this in our workshops. There are so many times that men especially, because I think we're less emotionally evolved, we delegate ourselves completely out of family life. And then there's this underlying guilt or depression or even a bitterness, like you can't understand. It's because they're not really a part of family life. And it's not what they really went into having a family for. Somehow they delegated themselves out of it. They thought, oh yeah, but it's handled, but they're feeling an emptiness. And we've had to deal with that with a number of people.
Well, and even in our own family, like you referenced when you're on the road that you're pulled out. So sometimes if you're not in the home, you're not aware of what happens. And I remember it was like super pivotal and impactful for us when I communicated, can you just have an awareness when you're gone? Like, there's no way for you to know, but can you verbally say, I see that this is harder for you. Thank you. And you do every single time now without fail. He's on the road. Thank you for holding down the fort. Wow, I know that's a lot. And so he's not here to help, but even the empathy of like, I see you, I appreciate you, I think is super helpful.
It was a long way.
Jimmy, that's an interesting point when you said a man is self-delegating out, but really it's not something to sort of blame yourself for. It's really a societal pressure, right? And the gendering of these roles that come from something much bigger force than us. And we're taught as women that we have maternal instinct and we're better at multitasking and mother knows best and all these things that for us maybe feel at first like they're building us up, but really it's just a mechanism to make us believe that all of this work is for us. But then it has another impact, which is leaving men out and suggesting that men don't have this instinct and don't have these capabilities, which we know are not true. Men are phenomenal contributors, phenomenal nurturers. And to suggest that women somehow have a leg up on providing these things to family is just not backed by science at all.
No, I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. I think with the art of delegation or being more emotionally evolved, like I'm sure you've had to deal with this mom guilt for families we've worked with. They're just like, they have an awareness like, hey, I'm going to keep part of my career, but I really want to be engaged at home. How do I do that? Where the guys, we just don't even realize that they have some emotional awareness that I don't think we do. I think there's an ability at home. Does that make sense? That I've seen ladies where I'm like, mom guilt like strikes up and they're like, okay, I'm out of whack. How do I fix this? And I've had to give credit to Jamie. Jamie guided me in this. Well, you're not here for this, or you weren't here for, yeah, like you can delegate that out, but don't you want to be a part of that?
Right.
And so I needed a little guidance. And then with the guidance, yes, I could step in. But I think that initial awareness, maybe it was they have a better, I think, emotional awareness. I don't know if that's unfair to say or reverse sexism even, but they've had a better awareness. Women are just more emotionally aware.
And I think, again, that's an expectation that society has placed on us really to deliver to that level. We really do have the weight of the health of the family sort of placed on our hearts. And the reason that women are so good at it is because we do it. It's a matter of the muscle that we've built emotionally, physically, in every way. But we are seeing an increase for sure in involvement by men in mostly the executional elements of this work. And so the goal is really in the coaching that I give to partners is in full task ownership inside of the home. So trying to move away from the notion of like helping, because that still presumes that the work is owned by the woman and that the man is sort of like, I'm here to help, like, just tell me, right? And that's amazing. Conceptually, it's amazing to have a partner who's engaged and wants to contribute. But the true magic is when that partner notices on their own, carries the mental load on their own without needing the reminders, without any indication of needing nagging, which is the worst, right? And just fully shows up to take that completely off of the other person's plate.
Hey there, friends. Let's talk about what really matters in life: money, freedom, and family. You know, the things that keep us going, but occasionally drive us crazy as well. Now imagine if you could have all three at once. Crazy, right? To think that? But it's possible with mine and Jamie's passive income playbook. It's the perfect blueprint for creating a build-to-rent passive income generating real estate portfolio that gives you and your family the freedom and passive income that you deserve. Now, I'm not just talking about some small change here. We're talking about real tangible income that will allow you to never miss that family event, that ball game, or the vacation ever again. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, but investing in real estate is so hard and time consuming. But fear not, my friend. The Passive Income Playbook makes it easy and very straightforward, step by step. So why not visit jjplaybook.com today and schedule a conversation with one of our sales counselors and download your own copy. Trust me, it'll be the best investment you make this year. Besides, maybe you get that feeling that you're going to buy back your time and also create a legendary family life. Because let's be honest, what's better than financial freedom and quality family time? Not much, except maybe that peace of mind that comes when you know you'll never have to choose between work and family again. So go ahead, make the investment and prioritize what truly matters in life. Your family will thank you. One more time, go ahead and visit jjplaybook.com.
Gotcha. This is great. And this is good advice even for me.
And can you think of some specific examples? Like, because I immediately go to like, I know in the mornings when you're helpful, I'm hugely like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for helping. Thanks for getting the kids in the car. Like, wow, that was such a huge help. You know what I mean? Or I'll
yell from. But I use that question all the time. Like, hey, sweetheart, what can I do to help? What can I do to help?
And it's so kind. And
yeah,
generous.
I see it as like kind, but as you said, that's an interesting take.
I have to think, be like,
more
how can you
initiative
help?
And just do something
that you know
that you know, or might not, but at least it was initiative.
And so. I think both things are true, right? Like when your heart shows up like that to help and to contribute, that is a beautiful thing. And when you have the dynamic where one person has owned everything, it's like a shift, right? This is not like a light switch. It's a shift of learning and training and sharing and empowering where you get to a place where you then have full task ownership over certain things. And it happens sort of one by one. And I'm not suggesting that someone who's a beautiful and helpful partner, like a super example of a dynamic, but there is a step to be taken beyond that, which is that that partner really owns tasks that completely frees, in this case, the woman of not just the execution of it, but also the remembering that it needs to be done, the planning for it to be done, and the reminding someone or teaching someone how to do it.
This is a really powerful point I want to stay on, and I'll tell you why, and I'm sure you're going to get it. We have a very good friend, mentor, friend, business partner on different deals. He got sick suddenly, him, his wife with cancer. I mean, this is one of the most tragic things. And we've had some deep conversations and he is so loved and has such a sphere of influence. He's being reached out to. And the question that's being asked to him is what?
How can I help?
How can I help? What can we do to help?
Yes.
And he's had deep conversations with me and he gave a talk actually at this thing he was invited to where he's fighting a good fight. And he said, here's some things I've learned about getting sick. Please don't say, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
He says, it's overwhelming me now. And for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, This is something I say to Jamie literally every, sweetheart, what can I do to help? And I'm saying it with enthusiasm and love, but I'm like, wow, like taking this one step further. Here's our good friend with a family of four children and wife.
Yeah.
And saying that question overwhelms him. So just
for sure.
I'm like, so it's a very interesting take of, and he said, just take
you have
initiative.
To think about what can I delegate that would be helpful and not just keeping you busy? And what can I ask you to do that I don't then have to explain or find? Yeah. Right. I guess those are some good examples.
No, this
too.
Is a very big aha. So,
and what's really helpful in transitioning to that is, and to your point earlier, it might not seem like this is the sexiest thing, but it gets you to a place where it is. So if you guys have a sit down, and it could just be the two of you, or it could be the whole family group, where you talk about maybe a couple of the things that you find to be big tasks or sticking points in your home. Let's just say garbage is a challenge for you guys. You sit down, you say, what is involved in garbage for our family? What are the steps? What are the community guidelines, municipal standards, whatever it is? What are the days that we have to mark down on the calendar? What are all the things we have to remember? So is it as simple as going into the kitchen, closing the bag, putting it outside in the bin? Or do you also have to remember to go to all the bathrooms and take out all the liners and replace the liners? And then if you go into the supply closet and see that you're out of liners, write down bathroom bin liners on the grocery list. Like all the things that go into it need to be the responsibility of the garbage owner. So then it's not about like, oh, what can I remind you about that's going to be helpful? It's more of you understanding complete standard for a task. And again, if you don't have clear municipal standards and you can choose, like if you live in an apartment building and you can put out your garbage whenever you want, let's say, then a discussion around how often are we going to do this? Are we going to have to do the garbage daily? Are we going to do it every second day? Are we going to wait till it's full? But having these conversations can really establish clear standards for your family that then everybody understands. So whoever is in ownership of a task is clear from the get-go on what is expected, and you have that line drawn that you can commit to.
Makes a lot of sense.
And now this falls into like an allocation, right? So like the next step can identify something like that, but then does the allocation come as a team? Like we sit and communicate an allocation, or would Jim volunteer and say, hey, I think something I could manage is X, Y, and Z, you know, like for a good example, we built this office that we're in right now. So there was a separation between home and space.
Mm-hmm.
And you've really taken full ownership in this space, even though I too work in here, where sometimes one of the teens works in here, like you take out the traction here. I don't ever mess with it. Like when you want the rug vacuumed, you do that. Like that has truly become your thing. And I don't even think about it. And that's a nice part because this is a space I don't have to think about. You really own it. So I feel like in our life, that's a really good example of something that I can show you, like a part if I'm in here and notice that you need new markers or something. But for the most part, it's I get a mental break in here.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's so great. So the first thing that I kind of guide the families that I coach on is don't start from like who owns what work. Start from, is everybody on an even playing field in terms of having equal joy, equal rest, equal time for connection, equal time for creativity, and equal time for self-care.
Well, that's good.
Wow, that's huge.
Once you all feel well represented in those categories, then you understand the capacity that you each have for the work and who can hold the cards, as an example, for 5 tasks, for 10 tasks, or whatever it is. Then when deciding who's going to do what, obviously, there's logistics to consider. So do you have a partner who travels a lot and how do you manage that? Or, you know, I work with people who have like a military spouse or other things that can be make things complicated. But really understanding that certain tasks of the home are more of a grind than others. And ideally, one person won't hold all those heavy grind tasks. You can divide those to a greater degree. So, for example, it takes an hour to get the kids up and dressed and fed and to school in the morning. It also takes an hour, let's say, to mow the lawn. But those two things aren't really the same because getting the kids out in the morning is sort of frenetic and stressful and crazy. And there's like 100 little tasks within that. But mowing the lawn is like you're outside, you might have headphones on, listening to music, you might have like an open can of beer on the thing that you take a sip of every time you pass. And so just recognizing that 1 hour here is not necessarily the same as 1 hour here, and like how taxing each task is, just making sure that you're dividing those up equally as well.
Yep. Now, how do you avoid, and I think Jamie and I have been pretty good at this, where we do try to have that overall involvement of our children. We've coached some people, and I'm sure you have as well, where the kids are honestly little pharaohs and Pharisees, and they just sit around and they're
our own
fanned. And
our own children have helped neighbors with children do work that their children haven't done. And they're like, but they're not doing it and they get an allowance. I'm like, so I see that neighbor and you better get your butt out there to help. Yeah,
that's something that I'm sure, especially if
that's a great point.
In a, again, classical situation, the enterprise who's been the chief, let's say you, if the children are doing nothing and there's multiple, it's not one, two, it's three, four, five, that can really start to become taxing. So how does a united couple approach that? Yes. So we know, don't ask for help, initiate help with the husband. I think that's great. Or vice versa, the spouse. And then the children. Have you seen this, what I'm talking about, where they're almost little pharaohs and Pharisees and they're, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You raise a really interesting point a minute ago that I just want to touch on, which is allowance, receiving allowance. And I think the giving of allowance is a really productive concept for helping with financial literacy. And I really support it as a concept for families in teaching their kids how to manage money, how to spend responsibly, how to save, how to allocate for charity, all of this. But families who connect the work of home and the receiving of money without first laying a foundation for understanding the inherent value in these contributions as acts of gratitude have missed a step. Ooh. So for me, this is why I started talking to kids as young as 5 years old with my book, because I think before you start connecting this work with money, which as we know, as we get older, there isn't that connection, right, with the work of home and care to any kind of compensation. Children need to understand that this work is beautiful and meaningful and valuable in and of itself as an expression of love and an expression of gratitude for all that we have as a family and care of each other and care of those things. If you then want to add an element of allowance to further have a teachable moment and add a level of responsibility, I think that's great. But please don't miss the step of connecting this work to love and gratitude first.
That's great. We've never done an allowance. We just communicate we're all part of a team and we really need your contribution on the team.
Yep.
And then we also go a step further, which I think you added it into our awareness with the children, is that when I have to ask more than one time or when something isn't just handled, it depletes my energy source.
Yes.
Energy wants to be used for playing outside, coloring together, reading stories. And if I have to ask you and deplete that energy that would rather be used for fun, then you're not doing your part, but makes it harder to do my part. And our younger ones really resonated with that.
Yeah,
that's they did. So beautifully expressed. I love that. And the flip side of that too is I love to let my kids know when they have positively impacted me by making a contribution. So my 11-year-old is like chief laundry folder of the family. He's really built the laundry muscle and he knows now that that's his go-to and he owns it. And when he does that, it saves me immense amount of time. And so I always let him know what I did with that time. He feels like the connection to me having time to read or time to make muffins or whatever it is that I use the time for, or if it's just time that we spend watching dog videos together, right? It's the direct result, the direct impact of his contribution. And it's such a positive feeling of pride for him.
So, and that's really helpful. So, and I like, not only is he doing it, but you're letting him know, here's what you've done for me, what you've produced for me. That's something they want to live up to more than. That's something you've said. If you give them compliments that have real assurance, they're going to want to do it more as long as it's authentic. Well, getting back.
Same thing with my sweet husband.
Yeah, same with the same thing. We work about the same as the kids. Now, one thing that I do want to get back to is, though, how do we, and again, some parents, but I just want to create this home. And
so how do we not baby?
How do we not create little pharaohs and Pharisees where they sit around and they're being fanned and they can just do a trail of whatever and
make a mess.
Yeah, make a mess and not participate in any chore or helpfulness. Because that's something that's come to us.
Yes.
How do you reverse the gears on that? Because there's probably families listening that have taken that path and they wish they had.
So I think in fairness, there are a lot of parents who have the view childhood is meant for playing and just having fun. And then as the kids get older, we should let them focus on their academics and their athletics. And really, they just need to be prepared for college and stay focused in that. But it's not a holistic approach to preparation, right? They're going to be living independently. It's great that they're going to have good study habits, but they also need to understand how to make a life for themselves. And this research has shown that children who are involved in chores in the home are so much more confident and prepared, of course, right? When they leave the home to tackle difficult situations or to handle adversity or whatever it may be. And so it is our responsibility as parents to empower them with these skills. It's not taking away from their time to play or study. It's actually enhancing their ability to do that successfully. And the other thing I want to mention is so often families think that they have this attitude of like, do what you have to do so that we can do what we want to do. And so it's like the chores first and then the fun after. But what that does immediately is it removes the chore work, and I use quotations because I hate that word, from the possibility of being the stuff that's fun. And as I reflect on my own childhood, so many of my greatest memories of my dad, who I lost a decade ago, were of us doing stuff around the house together and him teaching me and me holding the ladder for him and all these things. And I think families really need to recognize that this is a huge opportunity for connection and bonding and enjoying each other. It's not just in play, in going to the park and going to the movies and going for pizza that we can bond as a family. We don't have to look at this work as dreaded or tedious or in the way of our fun. We can make it into our fun.
I like that. And what word, I don't think we use the word chores. Do we say your responsibilities for the team? I know we say something like that. Do you have a word that replaces chores? We don't really use it either. But I wonder
contribution to the team.
Your contribution.
I mean, even if you just call it a household task or whatever language works for you, I think the opportunity for me is really changing that energy around it. Look, I mean, this is not always glamorous work. And we are very often doing it when we're exhausted, right? We're fitting it in early in the morning, late at night. We have unrealistic expectations of ourselves around standards of perfection. So sometimes it is really hard to wrap our head around getting down to stuff. But if you go back again to centering the work in gratitude and care instead of as like tedious tasks that we dread, it just takes a different shape. And look, kids are always watching us and kids are always learning from us. And so the energy that we approach it with is going to be the same that they approach it with. So if we dread this work, the kids are going to feel the same way and they're going to just say, forget it. But if we approach it as stuff that we do with them in the spirit of togetherness, in the spirit of teaching and empowering, kids just want to have time with us, right? So often that's what it's all about. They don't mind what it is. And even if they're just like sitting with us, like bring your book into the laundry room while I do the laundry, like be with me, right? They're watching, they're observing. I remember one of my kids' biggest aha moments was when he saw me lift the lint filter out of the dryer and pull the lint off. He'd never seen that before. He was like, what is all that? Like, what do you do with that? Where did that come from? And I was like, oh yeah, like, they don't see this stuff.
Yeah.
So invite them in to see it. It's not about pawning off work onto kids. Ultimately, it's about exposing them to all of these little things that make our life together and that care for our investments and that protect our health and that we do for one another. Like, really takes so much of our time.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Now, Lori, where can we pre-order or order your book? Where can folks find it?
Thank you. So it's available pretty much everywhere books are sold. Okay, obviously, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, so many independent, beautiful booksellers. Thank you so much. I'm really grateful for your support. And my website is Our Home, Our Pride. And when I talk about pride...
Say that again one more time. I want to make sure everyone gets it. Lori, where can they reach out to you? Other avenue besides the book?
My website and my Instagram are both Our Home, Our Pride. And when I refer to pride, it's about feeling safe and content in your own space, regardless of expectations, regardless of judgment of others. It's what works for your family based on how you flow and how you connect and what your values guide you to do.
Love it. Love it. Well, Lori, this has been a great conversation. I learned a lot, especially a very routine thing of my everyday. What can I help with, sweetheart? I'm going to start testing. I'm sure Jamie will email you, be like, oh my, you've done me such a favor. He's just...
I'll be like, he's so good looking.
Smart. Looking. I like it. Well, no, this was really good. We enjoyed it. We'll look forward to having you back, Lori.
I'd love that. Thanks so much. It was great to speak with you.
Take care.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.